And we're going to Hebrews chapter 1. And we're going to zoom in until the fourth verse. I've heard some feedback and I've seen that there are some that have said, I like the way that we're going through the book of Hebrews as we are. I'm glad because at this particular juncture, I feel that this is something that is really needed so that we can see Jesus more clearly. And I want to stick with that same thing that I used on Saturday when I said, what's the big deal about Jesus? And I talked about him sitting down on the right hand of the majesty in high. Some say on high and then in high. Today we want to talk about what's so big about Jesus being made better than the angels. What's the big deal about it? The Bible says it. Many of us believe it. But what about when someone comes to us and want to compare Jesus to, again, the Buddha, Muhammad, Joseph Smith, the Dalai Lama? They want to compare him to your president, Martin Luther King, etc. It's pretty bad. That means they really don't know who he is. But there are some, especially during this time, and those that had followed the teachings of what was called the Essenes, they felt that the angels were so superior, that the angels were something or some beings that could be worshipped. We see in the Bible that angels have the ability to teach and to give information. So in order for us to get a thrust for this, I'm going to read past where we're going to zero in and just kind of give us a feel to just kind of get an overview. We've gone over this before, but now that we're zeroing in on the angels, let's look at what the Bible says. I could start at just verse 4. I'm going to try it, and if I don't like it, I'm going to go back to verse 1. Verse 4, we're talking about the Son being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be unto him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of his angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hast hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning has laid the foundations of the earth, and heavens are the work of your hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as it doth a garment. And as a vesture thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same. And your years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstools? Might as well read the 14th verse. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? Wow. This is so rich. We come off of the writer of the Hebrews letting these people know in the situation that they're in, with the competing world views, the emperor worship, the worship of the goddesses, Diana, Aphrodite, the worshiping of magic. We've seen in the book of Acts, Simon was considered to be a great man of God. Elymas, he was a sorcerer. We see that even in the book of 2 Timothy, the Bible talks about in the third chapter, if you all remember the passage, I think you've known it and you've heard it. It starts out saying that this know also, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now, Tim, why would you bring that up? Remember, in chapter 1, it said, God, who in sundry times, see, he had many portions of his divine revelation, and in divers manners, he did it in many ways, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Okay. Hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Everything I did before, the portions of revelation I gave before, the different ways I gave revelation before, I gave that to the fathers, and I did it by the prophets. That's what he's saying that God is saying to them. He said, but in these last days, I gave you the whole vision. I gave you the full portion. I gave you the way. Not many ways. I gave you the way. I have spoken by my Son. So when I say that Paul says in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, this last days, we're talking about the same kind of last days. Now, some would like to say, well, this is talking about the very end of the world. But I would say, no and yes. What do you mean, Tim? No and yes. I mean that we're talking about around AD 30 when Jesus is put to death in about 5 BC, somewhere around that time, when he came into the earth in the form, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Why? That the righteousness of God's law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. And in the last days, when he gives us the full revelation, we see that he's talking about here the last days. And I'm submitting to you that in the last days that we are talking about with specificity is the last days of the prophets giving you a revelation of what is to come. The different ways of telling you that the revelation is to come. The last days is the revelation is here. The last days is there are no more sheep, goats, bulls that will be offered. We'll get to that. We won't have someone else as another lawgiver. That will be made known. You won't have to have a high priest on earth to do this because the full revelation is here. So when we talk about the last days with specificity, I want to go there. And then, yes, we're talking about there will be an end of the world because, as I read, he's going to fold the earth up as does a garment. It will be changed, but he won't change. So when we're talking about the big deal about Jesus, and we're talking about him being better than the angels, this Jesus is the one that brings in what we call the true last days. What do you mean? Again, I mean when I'm saying the last days in regards to the book of Hebrews, it's with specificity, the fourth verse, this is the last days of you getting the shadow. This is the last days of somebody giving you pictures. We have the real one here. So much so that if you were to read John chapter 5 tonight, you'll hear Jesus say in your mind, if you read to yourself, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me because he wrote of me. And all of the things that Jesus is competing with, and all of the things that these people have to stand up against, emperor worship, etc., sorcerers, we get to this third chapter of Timothy. He tells you they're going to be traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, lovers of God. Verse 5, they have a form of godliness. They have a form of worship. They have a form of godliness. They have a form of the way that they live. Some people have a form of godliness that I won't kill a bug. Learn about, if you hear about Buddhism, you'll hear that. A form of godliness. They'll have another form of godliness where they deny the power of God. In other words, we got a form of God. We're righteous, but we don't need the word of God. We have a form of godliness. We can say that we're for the environment or that we help the poor, but we don't have to bow down to Jesus. That's what we have. But they had a form of godliness. If you had power, if you had people that could do things, if you remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and 13, 13 talked about you could have the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity and you'll be nothing. Did you hear that? You could have the gift and not have the giver. You could give your body to be burned and have not the love of God that will profit you nothing. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you had people that could have gifts that they could speak other languages, known languages. The word is glossa. And he said, if you didn't have charity in the chapter, in the 13th chapter, you just like a making noise sounding brass. But what do? They creep into houses and they lead captive or take control of captive stealing women laden with sin, led away with divers lust. I will submit to you that if you look at the television, if you look at the religious world, a lot of these ministers that are so big and so prominent would not be that way if it were not for captive stealing women. You will find that most of the time, if you take the biggest one and they say, let's just wipe away in our mind the women that support that man or that movement, and you will see it would not be much. The contrary, even when it comes to the truth, often it just seems like the women are more ready and more inclined to hear the word of God. It's an amazing thing, the power that God has invested in women to support and be a helper suitable for the cause of God. Well, he said these people are ever learning and ever able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning. We got this 5-point this, 4-point that, quote this right here, stand on this, and it doesn't really make it happen. Most of the time it brings in another form of godliness to try to mix with God's word, and it actually dilutes it. Tim, why did you go here? Because it just said last days? No. I went here to get to verse 8. The scripture say, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, So also do these resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. Can you imagine a minister telling people that they have corrupted minds and that they are reprobate concerning the faith? Think about it. If you say that the people have corrupt minds and then you say reprobate concerning the faith, you're saying they have a reprobated mind. and is corrupted. But who is this Jannes? Who is this Jannes and Jambres? Well, according to the Jewish literature and the information that was talked about, that they knew about Jannes and Jambres, they say these are the magicians that when Moses' rod was thrown down, and the magicians threw their rod down, and it became a serpent, and Moses ate theirs, that this Jannes and this Jambres, that this is, I cannot prove this, so if you don't like what I'm saying, throw this part away. But this is reported that these are part of the two people that came in with the mixed multitude when they came out of Egypt, that they had said that they came to be with the people of God and that they were going to go with the people of God because they did not have the ability to overthrow Moses. They wanted to get with Moses. And when Moses had gone up into the mountain to spend those 40 days with God, that these are some of the people, according to Jewish literature, that helped persuade Aaron to build a golden calf. Well, let's say, Tim, I don't know nothing about that because I only believe the Bible and this other stuff you're saying. I don't necessarily know about the Jewish history. I don't really care about the Jewish history. So let's get to the non-negotiable. It said these two men withstood Moses. Trust me, the only ones that were withstanding Moses is either Pharaoh, and he was supposed to be God in the flesh, and then you had the ones that were trying to make things happen, and the things that did happen, they could never stop. They could make more frogs with their magic, but they couldn't get rid of the frogs. Now, in looking at what we see in the book of Acts, we see that different ones were called the power of God, and they wanted to join what the children of God had because it was better, and they wanted so much. One of them, Simon, he wanted to buy the Holy Spirit from Peter. Well, when you see the power that this world has, and if you don't understand that there's power in this world, and it all of the time does not have to come from a man that loves God, you don't understand what we're talking about when we say he is so much better than the angels, because these men that have the abilities and the powers to do so, it's not of themselves. Their teachings are not of themselves. What do you mean, Tim? It doesn't look like we get into this passage. Yes, we are. But when I say being made so much better than the angels, I want us to see what kind of things can angels do. I mean, we're not going to pull it all out in one fell swoop because it's too vast. But I want you to understand that there is an ability of angels to teach. There is an ability of angels to be able to do miraculous things in this world. And the Bible is saying that the Son is better than all of that. Let's look and see how God shows us in the scripture. Again, we're talking about what's the big deal about Jesus being better than the angels. And I went to show you that in the last time, perilous times would come. I tried to emphasize in such a way that you would know that the writers of the scriptures considered the time that God brought his Son here in the flesh to be the last final revelation of who he is, the last and final revelation of his love, the last and final revelation of his glory, the last and final revelation of it, the express image of his person. And any other thing that I could say would be his Son, Christ. And if someone said, well, we are image of his glory, not if you're not in Christ. We are whatever you just said, not if you're not in Christ. Everything that we do, we point back to the image of his Son, and we have to be in the image of his Son in order for us to be a revelation of who God is, and it's still his Son that is the last revelation. Was that clear? I hope it was clear. Andrina, since you're in here with me, shake your head. Was that clear? Because I don't want to repeat it one more time. Christ is the revelation that the prophets talked about. in whatever portion God gave of his spirit, or what the child would be, that the one would come from Judah, if we were to talk of Micah, mm-hmm. that had going forth had been from old, from everlasting. Mm-hmm. If we were in 2 Samuel, where he said, you'll have a son that will sit on my throne forever. If we were in the book of Isaiah, that the virgin, or that the maid would be with child, and Matthew said it was the virgin. Mm-hmm. When we talk about in Isaiah, that a son would be born. And his kingdom would know no end. Lastly, I mean, there's many more, but Daniel in Daniel chapter 2, when the stone is cut out of the mountain without hands, and he crushes the images, all the kingdom of the world, mm-hmm. and his king gradually grows, the last revelation of God is Jesus. Okay. Now, when we say the last days, biblical imagery is talking about that. But if we say, well, we are 2,000 years away, 1,900 and something years, what about what God does through us? If he's the last revelation, how is it then we are the revelation of God? It's because when we are in him, we are his body. He is still the last revelation. We still don't go back to the system before with bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer. We are considered as sheep for the slaughter. We are the ones that are the priesthood for the world, but it's not in our power. So everything that we do, everything that we learn, everything that we teach is still about him. So he is the last revelation. Again, it couldn't be the Buddha. His revelation is not of the Son of God. This is about a man that left the Hindu religion, Siddhartha, and he saw somebody suffering, and he saw different things, and he comes up with his own way to reach light. But in the last revelation that Jesus is, he said, I am the light of the world. And to his people that follow him, you are the light of the world. Not the Buddha, not what he found. And every other iconic person, when I start talking about Jesus being the last revelation, if they come up with something other than him, you've missed it. So the last days ends up being the revelation of his son. I'm not giving you bits and pieces anymore. Right. This is it. So now when we see the last days, we are seeing his son. And his son is better than the angels. But what about the end of the world? Well, when the Bible is talking about the last days, it's talking about the days of the Son and his gradually increasing kingdom. Yes, it will mention things about the earth ending and it being over, but it happens in the last days. And the emphasis is more on the last days with his Son than it is the earth being destroyed. And most people don't get that. Well, build your point, Tim. Go with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want you to feel him being better than the angels. But somebody say, but why are you going to another scripture? Well, he makes the statement. He has ways to prove his statement. But the things that he is saying is to people that knew the word already. And don't ever forget this. When we want to know what the big deal about Jesus is, we need to always remember this. These people, their lives were going to be on the line for it. Let's look at what Paul says. Would to God that you would bear with me a little in my folly. And indeed bear with me, for I am jealous of you with a godly jealousy. I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ, not to a prophet, not to an angel, but to Christ, the revelation of God. He said, but I fear that by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Do you remember that I just read a little while ago? I went in the scripture and I showed you about Jannes and Jambre. And I said, these people withstood Moses. And he was saying it in the last days, just like these magicians, these people that dealt with things from another spirit, another world, we could say demons or angels. It's not just an unintelligent spirit like wind. When the Bible talk about spirits, it's talking about beings. And it says, now as Jannes and Jambre withstood Moses, so also do these resist the truth. The word here could be said oppose the truth. He says, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Do you remember me talking about the corrupt minds? So now let's go back to where we are dealing with Brother Paul so that we can see that the theme holds. And once we see that the theme holds, we can begin when we go in this book of Hebrews and say, okay, I got it. I see why he said, what's the big deal about Jesus? And if you don't, then you'll still have the opportunity to pick up some of the sweet juice of the word. So he says, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. I've espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. In other words, I want to present you as one that's untainted, one that has not been corrupted by any other, but present you to the one that God gave as the last revelation. He said, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, that means to deceive thoroughly, through his subtlety, through his cunning, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. That word simplicity, we're talking about sincerity, okay? We're not being double-minded. Now feel this. Without going back and reading, let's use our mind. I'm not going to just say our imagination, but I'm going to say our mind that we know the scripture. When God told Adam, of all of the trees of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall die. That was the word of God, unaltered, unadulterated, the word of God. I will also submit to you that the Bible tells us explicitly all things were made by him, and it said that this was the word. I'm going to tell you that the pre-incarnate word of God gave Adam a command. I want you to see this. Now, this is what he was told. And it says that he was beguiled. How was he beguiled? Eve beguiled. Eve was made to be a helper suitable to Adam to fulfill the word of God, to fulfill in that manner, in that portion, and in the different ways that God was going to have the earth to know about the Son of God. Her job was to help the man do this and take dominion over the earth under the word of God, honoring God's revelation as truth. His revelation was his word. His word was truth. His word was not to be countermanded. Let me use a smaller word. Not to be second-guessed. It was his word. And it was not to be altered, added to, or taken away from. How was Eve beguiled? Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? That's what he said. Eve said, this is God's command. Of every tree in the garden we can truly eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat it nor touch it, lest you die. Some make a big to-do over the fact that God didn't say, lest you touch it. Don't touch it, lest you die. But if you think about it, before I would cast my lot there and say that she added to the word of God, as you move further along in the scripture, you would notice that there were certain things that were clean and unclean. when there were animals that were unclean for a while, that the individuals couldn't eat, they were not to touch them. When there was things that were sacred, that you were not consecrated to touch as a priest, you touch those things, you could become defiled, or you could become defiled because you touch something holy and you're not prepared to be holy, and there's a judgment. So in as far as I'm concerned, it may have been that by this being set apart for holy use for God, you might not suppose to have touched it. Somebody said, Tim, why don't you give me something definitive? Because it'll take the rest of my time. But she said, God said, and she did say it the last part, you eat of it the day you die. And Satan, that magnificent being, said, you will not surely die. Here is a competition for the mind of the human flesh. Adam and Eve, the mother and father of us all, here is the competition. Who is a better? Whose word is better? Whose revelation is better? Because I want you to understand, this is what Paul is using to let you know that you could be corrupted. And I'm telling you that Paul is showing these people, I have betrothed you to Christ. He is better. You want to say that he didn't really mean that? So then why is it that he is saying that Eve was deceived? Why didn't he say like the Mason said, Masons, yes, the ones that have the compass over the square with the G in the middle, they say that the Satan or the serpent was bringing light to the world and that God was evil and that you should follow that. If you want to know why people follow Lucifer, as he's called, or the devil, is because they say he brought light to the world. So don't ever underestimate that there is a competition in the minds of man who is better. Paul is saying, I'm presenting you as a chaste virgin to Christ, and I'm showing you that the evilness of the serpent and what Eve did, instead of saying that God's revelation is better, God's revelation is absolute, God's revelation is complete, and I'm sticking with God, it doesn't matter what you say, you don't question my God in my mind, I think God's thoughts after him, and when God says no, it is no, even if I don't understand it, it is still no, because he revealed it, he didn't tell me to think it out, he didn't tell me to ration it, he didn't tell me to be neutral and let you explain something to me and show me something different, because when Eve had the word of God, it was a better than what the serpent gave. It was a better, and when I say serpent, I'm talking about that malevolent angelic being. It was a better. So Paul says, I fear for you in the time that I'm writing, and these are the last days. If you don't think that it is, I'm not going to turn to it, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I believe it is in 7 as well as in 11, 10, 1 Corinthians 10, 7 and 11, it talks about that the things that happened when the people came out of Egypt were written for our learning, and it tells us at the end of the ages come to us. So, your mind could be corrupted just like Eve was by his subtlety. What do you mean, so big deal about Christ being better than the angels? There is a tendency in man that if he sees something from a spirit, if it's something supernatural, if he hears a voice, if he's able to be able to have a premonition and it comes to pass, or if he has a dream and it comes to pass, to compete, let that compete with what God's word has said, and God's word became flesh, and he has spoken to us through his word that became flesh, which means everything that he has shown before is embodied and encapsulated in him. And the writer of Hebrews is telling these people that are able to see things. We know that there was spiritism going on then. We know that there was domination of power by Rome then. And he says, listen, I want you to understand that the one that purged your sin was God in the flesh. He did it as a man. You can't kill God. You can't beat God. You can't stab God. You can't spit on God. But when God comes and he's encapsulated in flesh, and he allowed himself to be slapped, to be beaten, to be spit on as a lamb for the slaughter. He purged our sins when he died for the sins. Instead of smoke going up to heaven, being a sweet smelling savor, when he died and paid the penalty, he went up in his own body. Purged our sin. And then he sat down as a leader on the right hand of the majesty of God. I will submit to you, but those that are Jehovah's Witness, etc., that says him being made better than the angel was that he was not always better than the angels. That's a damnable lie. But when God came as the last revelation, God the Son came, he took on humanity. That allowed him to learn things. When we get to the fifth chapter, we're going to see, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience through the things which he has suffered. We're going to find out when he took on humanity, it allowed him to do things and experience things he hadn't experienced before in that way. He was not made like unto his brethren before, but now he is. So now we're saying that the Son in his flesh was made better than the angels. Oh, y'all don't want to hear this. It might seem like it's not that deep, but it's deep. Because before he took on humanity, he is the creator of angels. He's better than them. They bowed to him. He was their maker. He was their creator. He could judge them. So much so that the demons could see him when he walked around on the earth as the revelation of God in flesh. When he commanded them to come out of a man, they said, have you come to torment us before the time? We know who you are. That flesh does not fool us. We are better than the humans. We know who you are. We know what you have done. And we're afraid. Don't let somebody tell you, and I'll show you in a minute in Revelation 3 and 14, how the Jehovah's Witness take this, and different ones take this passage, and say that he was not always better than the angels. Now are you beginning to understand why we have to work? Because these are the things that the subtlety of Satan brings against people that are the people of God, and often they will leave the truth, they will leave the truth and go to error. Almost every person is in a cult that have left the true word of God, left because they did not understand the person, the nature, and the work of Christ. They did not understand the Godhead or the place of man in God. They are just like Eve. They can hear what God has said and someone else said, but he didn't really mean it like that. That's not the way it was. And instead of hearing God's word like it is, they get corrupted through the subtlety of Satan. Now that I've got that out a little bit, let's work with it. Verse 3, we're working in concert. 2 Corinthians 11, and we are talking about what's the big deal about Jesus being better than the angels. And it says, I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity or the sincerity that is in Christ or the singleness. For if he cometh, preacheth another Jesus. Or, I don't know where I got that or from, so I'm going to go back and read again. For if he that cometh, preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which we have not accepted, ye might bear well with him. Let me unravel that. And the reason that I have to unravel that is because I want you to see him being made so much more or being made so much better than the angels. I'm going to show you what the big deal is. The first big deal you should see from that, if you don't understand that he's better than the angels, you don't realize that he is the last revelation of God. You don't really think about that he holds up everything by the power of his powerful word. You don't understand that the last revelation is the express image of God. You don't even think about he purged your sin. And you don't think about him sitting on the right hand of the majesty and high. When somebody come to you with something else and he tells you about another Jesus that is not the Jesus of the scripture, and they tell you that Jesus is just Michael, one of the archangels, and you believe him, you have already allowed your mind to be corrupted. If you allow someone to tell you that there's another prophet that comes behind Jesus named Muhammad, and that he is a seal of the seal of the prophet, and that he is better than Jesus, your mind has become corrupted. If you have someone to tell you about another Jesus that says you can live any way you want to and do what you want to, then it's another Jesus. If you have someone to tell you that Jesus went and he was having children and having a homosexual relationship, that's another Jesus. And you have allowed through subtlety of someone, a spirit, an evil spirit, an angel, to allow that word of that one to be better than the Son. You might not see it as being better than the Son, but whichever word you listen to will tell me who is better in your mind. Somebody say, Tim, you just getting angry. You know, well, like I told sometimes, some of these things are damnable that people hear. And sometimes people get angry over the wrong damned thing. What do you mean? When someone tell you the truth, you get angry. But when somebody tell you to have an open mind and consider that this person brought light, this person is teaching peace and love, and you are listening to another angel, and you don't realize that the Son is greater, and you get angry over the one that tell you the truth instead of being angry over the one that's telling you a lie, you are angry over the wrong thing. If Eve would have chastened Satan right then and told him, you don't bring that mess to me, I stick with the true and living God. What God has said is, you are a liar. You know what Paul told the people to do in Romans? Let God be what? True. Because he's better than all men. Now listen to this. We need this as we unravel verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 11. But our theme is that he's better than the angels. 1 Timothy 4 and 1 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, listen, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines or teachings of devils or of demons. If Christ, as the writer said, is better than the angels, why would their words be accepted as something to cause you to depart from the faith? It must mean that you don't value the last revelation of God. You are valuing something that's being taught as a revelation from an angel, what we call a demon. Am I clear? Because I can say it again. When you listen to anything that pulls you away from the Son of God being the revelation of God, then what you end up having is that the teaching of a demon and the teaching of a doctrine of a demon that you accept has shown that you believe that this demon is better than Christ. I'll read it one more time and show you how we deal with it. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirit. They are listening to them instead of Christ. So you're giving heed to angels as if they're better than him. And doctrines, that word doctrines mean teachings of devils. You're doing the same thing Eve did. You're putting that angel, that spirit, over Christ. Now you don't have to know that it's an angel to see it to do it. But that's what the teaching is coming from. Listen to what else they do. They speak lies and hypocrisy. and end up having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And here is some of the teachings that they give. Forbidden to marry, abstain from certain types of meat, which God created to be received with thanksgiving of them that know and believe the truth. I could go into more. I don't want to. I want to bring us back. He's better than the angels. These people in the latter times will let somebody tell them that the revelation of God is don't get married, that the revelation of God is don't eat certain meats, that the revelation of God is stick to the things that Christ has come to show, that was a picture of him in many portions and in diverse ways, but I'm here now. It's not necessary for you to emphasize that, emphasize me. So when Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11:4, that preaches another Jesus, one that can't save you from your sins, one that does not uphold everything by the word of his power, one that's not better than the angels, he said you'd receive it. Or another spirit that's just the spirit of love but won't do judgment. Or another spirit that's the spirit that I can honor my pastor, I have partiality, and not deal with people without partiality like God said, I can do that. Or that I got a spirit that's just an active agent. That's what they teach in the little brown book that Jehovah's Witnesses have, that it says the Holy Spirit is God's active force. He doesn't have personality, he can't talk, etc. He said another spirit that you have not received, or another gospel. We know that there's a man that they call His Holiness Dalai Lama that does not trust the word of God. We know that there have been men that call themselves God that walk the earth like Father Divine, Daddy Grace, that man that Asahong, many more. And they say that they can save. This is the doctrines of devils. This is the doctrines of angels. He says, you say you got another gospel that we didn't preach, or have you not accepted, you might bear with him. And he says, I suppose I was not a whit behind the chiefest of apostles. But I want you to see what he says. This is so amazing. Go to verse 14. Let's go to verse 12. I'll do 12 and then let you see what he's saying. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion for them that desire occasion, wherein they glory, that they may be found as we. In other words, those that are elevating angels to be better than the last revelation of Christ, they don't have to come right out and tell you that's what they're doing. The serpent didn't tell Eve that. He said that God lied. He said God does know when you do that, what he said is not true, it's going to be better. It doesn't take the full revelation of God for you to be okay. God is holding something back. Let me give you something deeper. Let me show you something else. That's a doctrine of an angel. Christ is better than an angel. He is better than a demon. So therefore, whoever you listen to and take their means of salvation, their means of revelation of what truth is, you have not really determined in your mind for yourself that God is true and every man is a liar. And when you look at the man that teaches you that, behind that man is a spirit. It's the spirit of an angel claiming or trying to be more than Christ is, and it will be the spirit of the serpent. It will be the spirit of the one Satan through his ministers. Prove it, Tim. Glad you want me to do it. Verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. These people go through a metamorphosis and transform themselves to look like they are equal to the apostles. Make themselves equal to the angels of God. Equal to his last revelation. To deceive you. They're false. Verse 14. And no marvel. Don't be amazed. No wonder. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Is that not what he did to Eve? Did he not say, I have the truth? My word is the truth and the true revelation of what is right about life and knowledge and godliness and whatever it is you need to know. And guess what, girl? You won't have to be under a God. You'll be as God, and you can determine your own revelation. What do you mean? You can determine good and evil. You will know it. Verse 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers be transformed into the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Again, let's go back to Hebrews 1 and 4. Christ being made so much better than the angels. In his humanity, he was made better than the angels. Although, in his humanity, the body he took was lower than the angels. But it didn't stop there. It says, as he by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Well, we definitely say, well, I know in the scriptures where he obtained that name by inheritance. Let's look at it. You all know where it is, I'm pretty sure. Philippians 2 and around 11. Let's look at him when he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, and let's look at him where he got a more excellent name than they. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, the Word made flesh, the last revelation of God, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. If I think I'm equal with God, that's robbery. He is better than me, he's stronger than me in every way, but for Christ, it was not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He did not pump himself up. He did not build up his name. He built up the name of the Father because I'm the revelation of the Father. It's not about me right now. It's about the Father. When these other people come that are coming in, other angels that are going to try to make themselves more or better than the Son, it's going to be about them, or they'll make it be about you, and it'll end up being about their leader, Satan. It will never be about the Father. If they say it's about the Father, it will be a Father that has not been revealed in the Scripture. And he says, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a slave or a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. I want you to feel this. He became obedient unto death. This is something that he had not done before. Humbled himself? This is God. But as man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. Listen to what happened. Wherefore God also has highly what? Exalted him and has given him a name which is above every name. Let's look at Hebrews 4 and 1. Being made so much better than the angel, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Verse 9, Philippians 2, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given to him. He already had a name that was above all names when he was just spirit, but when he took on the flesh, his flesh had to be humiliated. But his flesh was humiliated and he paid the price. Now God exalts him, accepts his sacrifice. And it says, wherefore God has highly exalted him and has given him a name above every name. What else? That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven. What are we talking about? Angelic beings, watchers. We're talking about seraphs. And all the kind of beings that are of a celestial nature, of things in heaven and things in earth, whatever spirits are in the earth, whether the spirit is encapsulated in man, whatever spirit, if it's in a dog or a bee, don't tell me the animals will do what he said do. You don't want to know the scriptures if you don't think they obey him. of things in earth and things under the earth in the nether world. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Paul is saying that he is above every spirit. He is better than everything that can talk, everything that can think. He is above it. He is better than it because they bow to him. And this is what has been added to him as the God-man. As a man, he had not got this position yet. Now he is Savior and Lord of the world. And the writer to the Hebrews says, being made so much better than the angels, as he by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Is this thing pretty? Because people have the tendency often to ask you something like this. Oh, so you believe Jesus is God? And the weak-minded and the simple-hearted say, he's the Son of God. I want you to hear what this same writer Paul says about this sweet Jesus that is made better than the angels. I want you to hear it. Listen to what the Bible says. In the 14th chapter of Romans, verse 8. Let's read 7. It's talking about whether a person eat meat or not. If a person don't eat meat, they eat herbs. You don't live by yourself. We all live to God. Whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. This is the essence of what it says. But listen to the ancillary part that's so beautiful. Verse 7 says, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Do you hear this? I don't care if your man call himself God. I don't care if the man say he is the anointed. You don't die to yourself. That's how insignificant you are in that realm. You don't live to yourself. You're under authority. You don't die to yourself. You are under authority. I just want to get that out in my strong voice. And so Paul says, for whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. And he has a judgment day. But listen to verse 9. It's so amazing. For to this end, Christ both died and rose. So we have to be talking about the man that the Spirit of God came to reside in. Because the Father and the Son and the Spirit, or the Father, the Word, and the Spirit, they don't die. But when Christ became man, he could die. So it says, for to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Verse 4. Being made so much better than the angel, as he by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. There were some things that really took place. There are things that he gained. Although he gave it all up, the Bible said he gave it to him. But one of the things that individuals don't really realize when we're talking about Christ, and we're talking about being made better than the angels, I want us to always understand that as a human, he was really human. Before he took on humanity, listen to what God said about his Son, or listen to what the Son said about himself, God the Word. I want to not call him the Son like that before he became the Son, but listen to what it says in verse 22 of Isaiah chapter 45, Isaiah 45 and 22. Look to me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself. The word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. Or confess, surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are increased against him shall be ashamed. This passage that was true of Jesus before he was incarnate, when he was just the Word, when he was God that created and was not made in the likeness of sinful flesh, this was true about him before then. But as the man, the Christ, the Bible said when he offered himself, God exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Listen to what Jesus said in John 17:1. When you go to the third verse, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son with the glory that I had with you when? Before the world was. It's a big deal about Jesus. He is better than the angels. He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Name and authority. Lord have mercy. I hadn't even finished this, but now I want you to hear this. For unto which of the angels did he say at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? When we work on this on Saturday, if the Lord's will, to which of the angels ever died? Which of the angels ever died and become the first fruits of them that slept? Which of the angels is the Lord of the dead and of the living? Which of the angels is the final revelation of God? And we'll go on down and we'll see God and worship him. This is the first time that you will see that angels are told to worship a man. Yes, he is the God-man, but he is fully human as well. This is the first time. And you see a taste of that when he begs them, the angels beg him, the demons, not to torment us before the time. You hear a taste of this when Jesus said, when the Son of Man come with his holy angels, they're going to do this, and they're going to do that, and they're going to do the other at my word. The big deal about Jesus being better than the angels is this. His word is not to be violated. They use the word, some say inviolable. I just say his word is not to be violated. Him being better than the angel, his revelation is true. It's complete. It's compact. And any other revelation, any other so-called truth that you accept would mean that you are not seeing that he is made better than the angels. So since I believe that most of us have not seen angels, since I believe that most of us have not seen demons, I want you to know that since they are spirits, you can see them through their actions. You can see them by what they do. You can see them by what they teach. And they all have the message of the serpent to beguile you with subtlety and to show you that not only are they equal to the Son of God, but better than him. But the writer to these people said, look, he is better than the angels. Somebody might say, Tim, but why didn't you go to Colossians and show that where they're worshiping angels? I wanted us to see it in ways we hadn't thought about. That angels speak, that we see angels, or we see the essence of their work. And when we see Jesus, he's better than the angels. We should ask ourselves, what does Jesus say about this? If you can't think that really well, what does the scripture say about this? And when you realize he's better, and you realize they have to bow to him, why would you listen to them? You will be dead one day, physically, if you live long enough. Why would you listen to one that's not going to be the Lord over the dead? The only reason he gets to be Lord over the living is because you listen, but he is not the ultimate Lord. In the last part on verse 5, and then I'll finish. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When you pay attention to that, you go back to verse 4 and you start looking at inheritance. You start looking at sitting on the right hand. And you start understanding even more what God has shown us through the kings. This thing is rich. But there are many things that will compete in our minds if we're not careful to make themselves be better than Christ. To these people here, it wouldn't have mattered about emperor worship. It wouldn't have mattered about the Jezebelites that are to come or the Nicolaitans that are about to come. It wouldn't matter about Simon. It wouldn't have mattered about Elymas. It wouldn't have mattered about the people and all of those magic art books that they had in Ephesus that you can read about in Acts chapter 19. Whatever kind of subtlety that angels, demons, seducing spirits brought, they were being given this one thing to hold on to. He's made better than the angels. If he's better than the angels, his teachings are going to be better. He is the one by inheritance, have a better name, and they're not even called his son. And Lord have mercy, if Christ didn't have the inheritance, you will have no inheritance. The only way that an individual get an inheritance is to share it with him because he gives it. The big deal about Jesus is this. He is the revelation of God. The big deal about Jesus is when you know what his revelation is from God the Father, you will know what the false is because it will always contradict what he says. That's the big deal about him being better than the angels. Not in totality, but enough to chew on until our next class. Father, thank you for your blessed, eternal, righteous, and holy word. Thank you for showing us through your word everything that competes is not even a fair competition. There are spirits that can transform themselves and change themselves, but they have to try to make it look like that they are your revelation. They oppose you instead of build you up. They take away from your glory and glorify themselves. But your son, he's better than them all. Help us have the mindset to realize you've given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him whom you have called by your own glory and virtue. Help us to realize these things. And that we will hold to that which is true. And that we would set our affections on things above. Where your son, who is better than the angels, sit at your right hand. And that we'll set our affections on things above. And not things on the earth. For because he is your son and has obtained an inheritance, our life is hid in him. And with you, and when your son, our king, our elder brother, return, then we shall also be able to be with you in glory. Help us to value these things and ponder them, I pray, in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Amen. Amen, and even so, amen.